Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Pam Ortega and John Sobel from the East Texas Crisis Center. Good morning to both of you. Great to have you with us for yet another of so many shows, and we can never do too many shows I've done with the Crisis Center over the years. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our show, of course, In Focus, is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Pam, it's been a little over a year. You visited with us in early 2018. It's great to have you back. You're the sexual assault coordinator, I understand, for Texas Crisis Center. And John, kind of a new position, I believe, a sexual assault advocate, which also includes coordinating the volunteers. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's get started. A little bit of history, mission, purpose, background for people who don't know or who need a refresher course. What is the Crisis Center? What does it do and why?
So the Crisis Center started in the late 70s as the Smith County Citizens Against Rape. And since then, it has become the main nonprofit agency in Smith County that serves survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault and of other violent crimes. And of course, we provide free services for anyone that's been through any incident.
Alrighty. Like, and you say Smith County. It's expanded since then. You have about how many counties do you serve now?
In total, we serve 5 counties. I mean, we do have outreach offices that serve those counties. So Henderson, Raines, Van Zandt, and Wood County as well.
Alrighty. www.etcc.org. Office is on 2401 Huey Drive, which some may remember before the big reconstruction is Old Noonday Road. It's off Highway 155. And the phone number is 903-509-2526. It's also a 24-hour hotline that we'll give out, 903-595-5591 for people in the Tyler area, or you can call 800-333-0358. And you do have office hours, I understand, Pam?
Yes, our office hours are Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5:30.
Okay.
Although that 24-hour hotline is available anytime, 24 hours.
24 hours, right. 24/7,
right,
as they say. Now, you mentioned that free services are available for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and other violent crimes. Let's go through some of those services. It runs quite a gamut. You have shelter, legal advocacy, assistance, and just a whole lot more.
Right. So pretty much anything that a survivor might need, that's what we're going to try to provide for them. Of course, the main thing is their safety. So if they need somewhere safe to stay, they can call the hotline and get screened for the shelter. If they need legal assistance, we're able to provide them with legal assistance, connect them with other agencies that can provide an attorney in some cases. Of course, counseling and therapy. If they've been recently assaulted and need to go to the emergency room, we can accompany them as well. And just giving them information and referrals to other agencies in the community that might be able to help them too.
All right. And needless to say, you stay busy. A lot of clients coming in.
Yes.
And
very true.
Pretty much been that way since, I guess, about 1979, which I've been up and going for about 40 years. I moved to Tyler in 89, and I know that you are up and going since then. You've made a physical move during that time, but that was a pretty good ways back.
Right.
It doesn't matter how long it's been since the last abusive or violent incident. And so much of what's happening nowadays with the hashtag MeToo movement, we hear about people who have kept this sort of thing a secret for years, and all of a sudden they're coming out and saying, this happened to me when I was a child, and now it's time for me to deal with it. So that's actually pretty common, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We have had several clients who were abused in their childhood, and they're finally ready to acknowledge that and try to heal from that.
All right. So if you have been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse, or you know someone who has, all you have to do, you can call the 24-hour hotline numbers, or you can pick up that phone and call 903-509-2526, and the folks at the Crisis Center will pretty much take it from there. As we visit this morning with Pam Ortega and John Sobel from the East Texas Crisis Center, I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. The definition of sexual abuse, we hear so much about this now that we weren't hearing years ago, certainly not back when I was a little boy, and for quite a while after that, but I don't think it can hurt, and I think it can actually help a lot to define exactly what we mean by sexual abuse. There is a certain amount of confusion there.
Yes. So sexual abuse really encompasses any unwanted sexual contact. So if you don't want that kind of contact, that makes it sexual abuse because it's being forced on you, you're being coerced into it. The legal term for sexual assault, that does require some form of penetration in order for it to be charged as a sexual assault crime.
All right. Now, other forms of contact can and often are just as traumatic for the survivor, and
yes,
some sexual contact groping is considered a misdemeanor. So we need
right.
to remember that as well. There are some fine points and nuances to be remembered there, but that doesn't make it any more appropriate.
Exactly. And I think that's a big issue, the fact that groping, which can be very traumatic, is only considered a misdemeanor in Texas.
Well, the legislature is done for this year. I guess we'll see what the...
Right.
And that brings up another interesting issue. Does the Crisis Center get involved in any kind of legislative advocacy as far as, you know, maybe changing the laws or getting people to consider things like... upgrading the seriousness of certain crimes?
Mm-hmm. Not directly, although we are members of the Texas Association Against Sexual Assault, and they are the ones who really push for policy change.
Okay. Statistics. Let's just kind of go over those. And Pam and John, anytime you want to jump in, I'll let you take over on that, starting with the fact that 2 in 5 women in Texas have been sexually assaulted.
Yeah, 2 in 5 women in Texas have been sexually assaulted, and also 1 in 5 men in Texas have been sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
91% of the sexual assault victims never report their crime to the law enforcement. And so that means there's a lot of people out there who've never really talked to anybody. Because if they don't report it to law enforcement, then they're usually hiding it from even their family.
And why don't they report?
People often don't report because of feeling shame or it was their fault. But when any of those things happen to you, it's never your fault. It's always the perpetrator's fault. Who did the action that's at fault? They didn't do anything wrong. Someone once told me that if you go out and you plan on drinking, what you expect to happen is, worst case scenario, wake up in the morning with a headache or maybe throwing up. But you don't plan on waking up being sexually assaulted. And so it doesn't matter what you were wearing, how much you were drinking, it's not your fault.
Okay. Now, some of these perpetrators, they play a role in this. They'll try and convince the victim that it was his or her fault?
They'll try to convince them that it's his or her fault and that they also played a part in it. Often, what most people don't understand, that drugs are involved. And when we say drugs, we include alcohol. Alcohol is the number one drug used to facilitate a sexual attack.
Mm-hmm. Feeling guilty or embarrassed, being made to feel that it's your fault, not enough information. People maybe don't spend enough time learning more about the Crisis Center and its work, as they can do on this show this morning. They don't believe that it counts for some reason or other. And also fear of not being believed and fear of retaliation. Those are a couple of big ones right there.
Yes, and that's really more common when it's a sexual assault by someone that they know, either a spouse, a partner, a date. They feel like they got themselves into that situation. So again, like John was saying, they're blaming themselves and they feel like that's why they shouldn't report it.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a minute. Meantime, we understand that out of every 1,000 sexual assaults, 995 rapists will walk free in this day and age, even though we know there's still a lot of that fear and wanting to keep it inside. It's really kind of hard to believe that that's still true, but so much of this, just an overwhelming amount, just goes unreported.
The majority of it goes unreported, but also what we don't think about often is most of the time it's the same person doing the same thing over and over to another person. It's not that everyone is. It's there's a core group of people that do it over and over again. They'll have hundreds of victims in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And getting back to what we were talking about a minute ago, people that you know, people that might even be in your own family, about 70% of assaults are non-stranger. This could mean spouse, partner, date, coworker, classmate, acquaintance, relative, etc. To me, that continues to be a very jarring statistic.
Yes, I think whenever anybody in the community thinks about sexual assault, they believe it's a stranger, someone that is stalking them, jumps out from behind a bush to attack them. But 70% of the time, and even more, that is not the case. It's someone that they know.
Mm-hmm. East Texas Crisis Center, getting into some other areas of statistics here. You served 342 survivors of sexual violence in 2018 in Smith County alone. Let's talk about that and go into some of those other numbers as well.
Yes, so that's how many clients we served only for sexual assault in Smith County, and about 249 of those started out as hospital calls, meaning they were individuals that were recently assaulted in the last few days and decided to go get checked out at the local emergency room.
All righty, and they received a sexual assault nurse examination in the emergency room. That's the name of the actual exam that they receive. For recent assaults, and that is defined as anything under 120 hours, does that figure come from anywhere in particular? Is there a reason that they define that as 120 hours?
That is the number that the sexual assault nurse examiners from the two local hospitals here gave us.
Okay.
They say that if the attack is within that time frame, they're able to get that examination.
All righty. And for recent assaults under that definition, under 120 hours, adults have the right to a free, sane exam, sexual assault nurse examination in one of the local ERs without having to report to law enforcement.
Yes.
And child exams always reported to law enforcement and CPS.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Now, do you encourage people to report to law enforcement, or do you just let them know that they have that option? I know that can be a very sensitive aspect of this as well.
Yes. We never encourage someone one way or the other. We let them know that that is their right and an option, and then we let them make the decision for themselves. We try to empower them to make whatever decision they feel is best for themselves.
I like the word empower. Mm-hmm. I think it's very appropriate to practically everything we're going to be talking about this morning. And we are talking to Pam Ortega and John Sobel with the East Texas Crisis Center. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Okay, we've mainly been talking about sexual abuse. Now, how do we define domestic violence? And let's just kind of go through some of the bullet points on that as well.
Okay. Domestic violence is a pattern of behavior one person uses to gain power over another person or their partner. It could be financial. It could be physical pain. It could be emotional by putting them down and calling them names. Anything to demean them or to control them. Often when in these situations, multiple, they're calling them names, putting them down, and controlling them financially. They'll come in, you go to work, and then you give me your paycheck, and I will tell you how to spend it. And that is mm-hmm. that is how the relationship is working, where the one really takes over all control in the relationship.
Okay, emotional, put downs, name calling, humiliation, etc. Mm-hmm. You say something like that to anybody, and you say it hard enough and convincingly enough, in or out of the purview of domestic violence and mm-hmm. sexual assault, people are sometimes going to end up believing that they're really the bad person, the person who is to blame. Financial, I think you mentioned that, controlling your spending, bank accounts, paychecks, etc. Another thing that people do in this digital day and age, they might check your phone often, limiting who you communicate with, bullying, harassing, stalking online. There's so many ways that people are using modern technology.
And that's a problem with phones today also, is they will use the phone to actually track the other person without mm-hmm. the other person even knowing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, stalking, that's a term that has become more and more common in recent years. It's still as much of a problem as it ever was, if not more so. Let's define stalking. I think we kind of all have a pretty good idea what that means, but within the purview, again, of the Crisis Center, how is stalking defined?
Okay. Stalking occurs when your partner or someone repeatedly watches, follows, or harasses you, making you feel afraid or unsafe. It is important to save any and all evidence if choosing to report or seeking help.
Okay. Moving into the area of some of the services that you provide, and we touched on this earlier, let's get into that a little bit more in detail. If you go to the website, etcc.org, or call 903-509-2526, or drop by during those office hours during the week at 2401 Huey Drive, you can learn a lot more. But the information that I have in front of me right now is right off the website. And the first thing that pops up under the tab of programs is advocacy, direct client services, and support groups. And then you'll see family or domestic violence. And the first thing that you see under that heading is HEART, HEART, Help End Abusive Relationship Tendencies. Pam, I understand that is the one support group that is getting the most response from the public right now. Tell us a little bit about that, how it works, who should go, and what people can expect if they join this support group.
Right. Yes. The HEART group is a support group for any woman that's experienced abuse in their relationship, whether that's physical abuse or any of the other types of abuse that John was discussing. And that group runs every Tuesday evening, and it's open to anybody that's had that experience. It's always gotten a lot of attention because it's, you know, people, whenever they realize that that's going on in their relationship, they realize that they need outside support. And so whenever women attend that group, they get to talk to other survivors, and that helps them move forward in their healing journey.
Okay. I know it's extremely confidential, but yes. Can you kind of paint a picture for us, maybe tell a little story about one or two of the things that might happen during this support group? Do the people bond with one another? I mean, what is it, without giving anything away that's confidential, what does it look like to actually be involved in a support group like this?
Well, it's very different from someone choosing to just go to individual therapy, because individual therapy, you're just talking to one person, a counselor. In the support group, you're getting to actually hear stories from other people who have been through very similar things that they might have been through as well. So that makes them, that kind of normalizes their experience. It lets them know that they're not alone, that other people have gone through this as well. And they get to hear about how other women made changes in their relationship and chose to move forward, either leave that relationship. So that really, like I said, it just empowers them that they're doing the right thing, that they chose to do the right thing by leaving their relationship. And that provides a lot of healing for them.
Okay. And you say Tuesday evenings is when those are held?
Yes.
Okay. For more information, 903-509-2526, or you can go to that website, www.etcc.org. We'll touch briefly on a couple of other support groups that you offer, but that I understand aren't getting a whole lot of response right now for whatever reason, and you can share as much or as little of that as you consider appropriate. For anyone who needs it, there are sexual assault advocacy and support groups, and the support group for family and friends of survivors. Why don't you just tell us a little about what's available in those groups, even though they don't match up with HEART as far as the number of people who respond. People need to know they're available.
Yes. So we also have support groups for those who have been through sexual abuse, and we also offer a support group for family and friends of survivors of sexual abuse. However, those groups don't get as much attention as our other groups that we run. And one theory that I have is that it's very difficult for someone to even acknowledge that they were sexually assaulted in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then to actually talk about it in a group setting, it's even more frightening for them.
That is certainly understandable. However, occasionally someone will call about one of these other support groups.
Yes.
And if you want to do that, 903-509-2526. And the first person you'll be connected to, I believe, would be a sexual assault counselor. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they'll kind of take it from there. Recovery is possible, and recovery does happen. I'm sure you have success stories that you can tell. And, again, we don't want to violate any confidences, but that's why you're there, and that's why you've been in business for 40 years. That is why the East Texas Crisis Center continues to be available for anybody who has any issues with family or domestic violence or sexual assault. Talking to Pam Ortega and John Sobel with the East Texas Crisis Center this morning. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Moving on to another program that you offer, advocacy, and there's a slash mark there, legal advocacy, which I guess is a subhead for advocacy. Accompaniment to hospitals, law enforcement offices, prosecutor's office, and courts is provided. Tell us a little bit more about exactly how that works.
So with advocacy, we define that as any time that we contact another agency on behalf of the survivor, whether we're helping them get connected with those services, we're helping them with an application for legal assistance. It's us talking to somebody else on behalf of the survivor.
Okay. Also, family protective orders, I should
yes.
say, screening and processing legal documents in cooperation with the justice system. So if someone has a protective order that's issued by a judge, you just kind of help walk them through that process?
Actually, we work directly with the district attorney's office here in Smith County to help our clients apply for that protective order. The DA's office actually has a specific application that we use for our clients for those family protective orders. And that's something that is free, free of charge. They don't have to pay any kind of court fees for that.
All righty. The crime victim services, this is a term that I've been hearing for a number of years now. I know the DA's office has a crime victim services unit as well, but what's your crime victim services unit like? How do you work that, and how do you coordinate with law enforcement and the criminal justice system?
Well, the specific services under crime victim is crime victims compensation. So anybody that's been a victim of a crime such as sexual assault, physical assault in Texas, and chooses to report that crime to law enforcement, if they have any bills that they had to pay because of that crime, let's say they had to go and seek medical attention because they were so injured, they are able to get reimbursed for any out-of-pocket costs that they had.
All righty. You also have a violence intervention network and several programs under that heading, the Men's Education Network, Emergency Shelter, et cetera, et cetera. John, I guess we can kind of toss it back to you now, because what about the Men's Education Network? Domestic violence and sexual assault against men tend to be underreported and basically seen as kind of second tier issues, I think would be a good way to put it, but they're out there. And if you can just kind of start anywhere along the line that you like and talk about how men are involved in this whole issue in ways that a lot of people don't really understand.
Okay. We often look at men as being the perpetrators, but often they can be the victim also. As we talked about earlier, that sexual assault, 1 in 5 men will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. We have a batterers intervention program where both men and women can go to a group to learn how not to be a batterer, to learn how to be respectful of your spouse. We have a men's group, and we also have women that come. And most of the time they're court-ordered, but you can actually do that on your own.
Okay.
You can contact our office, and they can come in. But also, there's men victims out there of domestic violence and sexual assault, and we offer services to all of those. Okay. Often crisis centers are labeled women's crisis centers, and even if they're labeled women's crisis centers, like in other areas, they still serve men. They keep the name out of history, and so I encourage men to reach out and seek help.
All righty. The emergency shelter, providing emergency safety for victims of family violence and sexual assault. That is, I would say, one of your most important programs. And Pam or John, either one of you, tell us a little bit about how that works and how things are going with that right now.
Right now our shelter is very packed, unfortunately. The shelter services for anyone who is currently living with their abuser and needing to get out of that unsafe situation.
Okay, you provide emergency safety for victims of family violence and sexual assault. Develop a safety plan and set goals for the future. That's all real important. It's not just a place where women and children can hide out. There's actually work going on there. You provide counseling to begin the healing process, decide about returning home safely or establishing independent living arrangements. And also under the heading of the emergency shelter, you offer children's prevention and education programs for shelter residents only. What kinds of things do you offer in that regard?
Well, in our children's center, we have what they call a WE program. And so while the women are seeking counseling and stuff in the morning or going out and finding jobs or a house, children are in their WE program, are learning to get ready to, they're learning and getting educated so that they come up to grade level, to whatever grade they're at. Often people in domestic violence, their children suffer also, and they're way undereducated. And so we try to get them ready for kindergarten. Also through our education program, after school, we have teachers that come in and help people with homework, and they do tutoring. We even have a volunteer that comes in and actually has been helping one of our clients prepare for STAR testing. It's so that the children can catch up also. I think that's a big proponent of what our education does. As while the women are in a shelter, it helps the children catch up to where they should be.
Mm-hmm. And then for adults, you do a lot of educating too. Economic education classes are really important. Tell us why it is important for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault to get that economic education. It can really be a key component of breaking free of the cycle.
Yes, that is a support group that we offer. We also have a staff person that works one-on-one with clients as well. And like we were talking about with financial abuse, a lot of times they didn't have access to their finances. They weren't able to plan for anything, to save up for anything, because their abusive partner took control of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a class that gives them knowledge about those skills, teaches them about finances, budgeting, and all of that. But I think it's also important for us to acknowledge that someone who's coming out of an abusive relationship, they might not have very high formal education to get a decent enough job to survive on their own. So a lot of times that is the main reason that they tend to go back to the abusive relationship, because finances are so difficult.
Mm-hmm. So economic education and the children's education too can play a key role in just breaking that cycle of domestic violence and sexual assault, just again to sum everything up. Moving on through the show, we have a few minutes left, and we want to get into volunteering at ETCC. John, again, this is your department. You're the sexual assault advocate, and that includes coordinating the volunteer base. There's always a need for more volunteers. What are some of the different things volunteers are likely to be asked to do if they want to volunteer with a crisis center?
If they want to volunteer with a crisis center, there's a lot of different opportunities, from volunteering to doing hospital accompaniment, or even doing office work or office advocate. They can even help with our hotline, like the number that you keep giving out about our hotline number.
Mm-hmm.
They can set and actually cover that hotline. and speak with people that are right there in the emergent need. We also have special events that happen. But there's all kinds of different things that you can even do just one time. We had somebody come in and give all of our ladies a haircut one night.
Huh.
And that was just an individual wanting to come in and volunteer and just do it on a one-time basis came in, and she gave everybody a haircut, all the women and children that were in our shelter. And so there's all different kinds of opportunities. If you're looking to do a long-term volunteer basis with us, we're going to need you to go to a 40-hour OAG training that we have. And a lot of that's for our grant funding, but also so that you're properly educated to work with a client base.
Okay, required for your grant funding. That's very important. And not just anybody can be a long-term volunteer. This is way too sensitive an issue mm-hmm. just to say, hey, I want to volunteer. Okay, come on in. Doesn't work like that. This is kind of a different ball game, and people really do need to understand that if they're going to volunteer, specifically long-term with the Crisis Center. Talking to John Sobel and Pam Ortega with the East Texas Crisis Center, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Website again, etcc.org. Main phone number is 903-509-2526. 24-hour hotline, you can go with 903-595-5591 or 800-333-0358. A couple of other things. You mentioned special events, and the first one that pops into people's heads now, many years later, I was actually involved with the first East Texas Auto and Cycle Show back in the late 80s or early 90s. When I was working for another radio station. So that's been around for a long, long time. That usually happens in, I think, February. Is that right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, right. So keep your eyes on the calendar for the East Texas Auto and Cycle Show. One thing that's a lot of fun, it'll be coming up early next year, I believe.
Yes.
And just a great way to enjoy, especially if you're a car freak, and also to help out a very worthy cause. And I guess that's really your showcase special mm-hmm. event of the year. For any other kinds of events or opportunities, volunteer opportunities, of course, you can always check the website or make that phone call. And it's also important to talk really about the expanded version of what we're doing right now, the Public Education and Primary Prevention Program. You do have a speakers bureau, you must, or you two wouldn't be here today. But other people, clubs, churches, schools, organizations, welcome and encouraged to call the Crisis Center, and you'll come and present a program.
Yes.
Okay. We are always ready to do that, always trying to spread the word about our free services.
Okay. Do you do a lot of business in that area? Do people get in touch with you a lot, or do you wish maybe they'd call you a little bit more so they could get educated?
We wish they would call us more, because this is something that we want everybody in the community to know about. We still run into people that say they've never heard of the Crisis Center. So, yes, we would love to get out there more and talk to businesses, schools, religious organizations, other agencies, clubs, anything.
Okay. Is it more than likely going to be one of the two of you, or
there's a group of about eight of us.
It would probably
be one of eight of us that go out. We all go out and reach into the community.
All righty. 903-509-2526 is the number to call if you want to get somebody to come and talk to your church, club, civic group, nonprofit organization, or school group about the East Texas Crisis Center. And again, not just Smith County. Pam, tell us again the other counties that you cover.
We cover five counties: Smith County, Henderson County, Raines County, Van Zandt County, and Woods County.
Okay. And do you have offices or facilities in all of those counties?
Not in all of them. We have an office in Athens and in Canton, and I believe the other office is in Winsboro. There's one other office in a small little town. I can't think of the name right now.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Bigger office is in Athens and Canton.
Okay, people can find out easily
yes.
enough by going to that website, etcc.org, or calling that number, 903-509-2526. Just a little bit of personal history. Each of you has been involved in the Crisis Center in one way or another for about the last 4 years now.
Yes. I started out volunteering with the East Texas Crisis Center. I started volunteering with them about 3.5 years ago, and then in December, they hired me to come on full-time as a sexual assault advocate.
All righty. Just a little bit of a snapshot into the lives of Pam Ortega and John Sobel. We're just about ready to wrap up the show. We have been talking to Pam Ortega and John Sobel with the East Texas Crisis Center. And again, www.etcc.org, 903-509-2526, if you want more information. Pam and John, it's been a pleasure and a very valuable experience to get caught up with you. Thanks so much for joining us and getting us up to speed on the Crisis Center.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. Pam Ortega, John Sowell, East Texas Crisis Center, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.